chapter 58. Chapter 58, we'll read the whole chapter, 14 verses. Remember, Isaiah was a prophet of God to Judah in her spiritual decline and prophesied her captivity in Babylon. And in this chapter, Isaiah rebukes the nation as a whole for her sins, especially in the misuse of her fasting, and it became a sham. And it ends with the two verses I want to focus on, verses 13 and 14, her abuse of the Sabbath day. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That's what they say anyway. And here's the Lord's response. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure. This is God's response. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to my house, when thou seest the nakedness, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, or rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now notice especially these last two verses. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on the Lord's day, that the thought is there, they were doing their pleasure on the Lord's day. If you will turn away your foot from that and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. If you do that, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So far we read God's holy, inspired word. Especially with that past, those last two verses in mind, we call attention to the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, dealing with the fourth commandment. Let's get that fourth commandment before us again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now question 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and to contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. From what we read in Isaiah 58, the last two verses, Judah was trampling underfoot the Lord's day. They went their own way on the Sabbath instead of the Lord's way. They found their own pleasure on that day rather than the pleasure that the Lord would have them find on his day. Instead of speaking the word of God, they spoke their own word. And Isaiah in these two verses points out the root cause. They didn't delight in the Lord's Sabbath. They didn't find pleasure in it. Nor did they honor it, that is, hold it in high esteem. And behind that was a sad fact. They did not honor God himself. Very little honor for God. Very little honor for his day. No delight in it. They went their own way, spoke their own words, had their own pleasure. And so they're called to repentance. They are to turn their foot away from the path that they have chosen, trampling underfoot the Lord's day. They are rather in repentance to call the Lord's day a delight, honorable, highly esteemed. And above all, they must learn to honor the God of their salvation, who gave them this day. This call to Judah is very much in need also for the church world today. The church in our country and in Western civilization is in a sad, sad state. And it shows itself by trampling underfoot the Lord's Sabbath as Judah did. Way too many who name the name of Christ are going their own way, finding their own pleasure, speaking their own words on the Sabbath. They do not delight in the Lord's Sabbath. They don't honor it. And behind that, they fail to honor the God who gave us this day. They do not delight in him and his work. God forbid that we follow that trend. Today, we're going to consider and see how we view the Sabbath day, how we use the Sabbath day reflects our attitude of the God we confess and the salvation he brings to his church. God forbid that we open the door 1 inch to allow ourselves and our children to go in this direction. Finally, by way of introduction, let's remember we're here dealing with the law as the rule for thankful living. God has provided in Jesus Christ full and free salvation. He forgives all our sins. He's adopted us as his children. Through a spiritual rebirth, he has given us his image and the ability to serve him in love. Knowing all that, let us not despise his work, but be filled with gratitude, a gratitude that leads us in the power of Jesus Christ to keep all of his commandments, including this commandment concerning the Sabbath day. I call your attention to this Lord's Day under the theme, Remember the Sabbath Day. First of all, what this means. Secondly, how this is done. And finally, what is the importance? The fourth commandment itself tells us in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's not overlook that. In 6 days, God made heaven and earth and all that it contains. Young people, children, do you know what God made in each of these days? The light, the firmament, the dry land with the vegetation, fourth, sun, moon, and stars, fifth, fish and birds, and finally, land animals, and finally, Adam and Eve, mankind. And then the seventh day, God rested. He rested. What does that mean? Did he take a nap? Did he go to sleep? Did he take a day off from working? No. If he stopped working, the creation he made would cease to exist. He continues to rule and uphold his creation on that seventh day and every day thereafter. But the fact that he rested means that he ceased his work of creation. It was done. And he enjoyed the finished work of his creation. He said, lo, he saw that what he had made, and behold, it was good. And he enjoyed that. That was the Lord's Sabbath. He rested. That was his Sabbath. I always ask young people in catechism, what does Sabbath mean? And the answer I always get is seventh. No, it doesn't mean seventh. It means rest. The Lord rested, enjoyed his work of creation. Now we read, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And I want to turn to this especially. He hallowed it. He hallowed it. He made it holy. Holiness in the Bible has the idea of setting apart from everything else. Here you have everything common and ordinary. That which is holy is set apart from all else. For example, the temple in Jerusalem was the holy temple of God. It was not an ordinary dwelling. It was special, unique, dedicated for special purposes. In like manner, God said, I'm going to set aside one day a week as a day of rest. A holy day. A day to cease from your ordinary labors and to enjoy my works. It's a holy day. That's the way, by the way, what the word holiday means. A holy day. You set aside your other every ordinary day work and you go and do something else. Well, the Lord says one day out of the week is a special day. Put aside your work. Don't treat it like an ordinary day. This is for you to rest and enjoy my work. And he says, remember that Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord does that because we're inclined to forget it. We mustn't forget this holy day and treat it as any other day. If we do that, then we profane the Sabbath day. To profane that which is holy is to treat it like everything else. Now, don't profane the Sabbath day. Don't forget it. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it as a holy day, a special day. One day out of the week. Now, it needs to be emphasized that this commandment concerning the Sabbath day is still in force today and to the end of time. The sad fact is that the Sabbath day is being less and less observed by the church. I remember when I was a teenager, even the world outwardly observed a day of rest. Stores were closed, businesses were shut, factories closed down. That's no longer the case. And sadly, many in the church are following that example. Sunday becomes the day to work. Don't think a thing of it. A day of shopping. A day of recreation. In some cases, it's simply because of spiritual indifference to the will of God. Spiritual indifference. But in many cases, it's the result of a misunderstanding on the part of some very sincere Christians. When the neglect of the Sabbath day is simply a matter of indifference, it shows itself in their whole life. But there are good Christian people who are misinstructed about the validity of the Sabbath day. For example, there are the dispensationalists. Those usually are Baptists, Bible-believing churches. Look for the rapture. The mistake they make is this. They divorce the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, from the New. The Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, was with the Jews, national Israel. And because Israel, Jesus came to them and he refused, they rejected him, then God starts a separate work with the Gentiles, a New Covenant. So there's no connection. And so those Ten Commandments, those aren't valid in the New Covenant. If you were in one of those churches, you wouldn't be reading and listening to the Ten Commandments. Those belong to the Old Covenant. Now, some of them are repeated in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. So they're valid for us. But you don't find the Fourth Commandment concerning the weekly Sabbath day repeated in the New Testament. And so that is no longer binding upon the church. That's the view. And they say, yes, we must get together and worship. That's important. That the Lord binds upon us. But we don't need a whole day for it, and we can pick whatever day we want. And that's very prevalent in the church world today. Then there are others of a more Reformed and Presbyterian background who see the connection between the Old and New Covenant and the moral law, the Ten Commandments which we read. And yes, they're still in force today in the new form of the covenant, all except the Fourth Commandment. That's not in force any longer. That is the one commandment that's like the ceremonial law, the worship laws, and others that were fulfilled by Christ, and that falls away. And so what they have really are the nine commandments of the law, not the ten. That, however, is a bad mistake. God wrote with his finger 10 commandments with his finger on tables of stone, indicating that these commandments are valid as long as history lasts. Stone is permanent until the Lord comes. Secondly, this commandment itself is especially rooted in the work of God creation. It didn't come about and wasn't set because of special circumstances. It's rooted in the creation work of God. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is in. And the seventh day he rested, wherefore he hallowed the Sabbath day. It's rooted in creation. It's valid until the end of the world. And even the New Testament church, in the New Covenant, under the direction of the apostles, observed this fourth commandment. They called it the Lord's Day. John, on the island of Patmos, was given revelations and visions and dreams, all very symbolic. And in chapter 1, verse 10, he writes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The Lord's Day. The New Testament church knew the Lord's Day. Now there is an element in this fourth commandment that is typical and has been fulfilled. For a long time I didn't understand, well, the commandment says 6 days you shall labor and the seventh day is the Sabbath day. That's Saturday. That's what the Jews did in the Old Testament. That was their Sabbath, but well, we do it on Sunday. What's the change here all about? And this is the change. In the Old Testament, the eternal Sabbath of God for his people had not yet been earned by Jesus Christ. We're not talking about that original rest of creation. Adam and Eve and the human race spoiled that. Satan and the third of the angel world spoiled that first creation and the rest that God enjoyed. And so immediately God sets upon another work, the work of salvation for his elect people. A salvation that he's going to accomplish in Jesus Christ. And that work is not going to be finished until the Lord comes at the end of the world. Then the Lord will say, now that work is finished. Now we have rest in the final complete sense. But the Lord doesn't wait until the end of the world for us to enjoy his salvation and to find rest in it, rest from our sins. No, immediately, in Adam and Eve in the paradise, he expressed forgiveness. He showed them his salvation. They could rejoice in it. And all through the Old Testament, the people of God enjoyed the salvation of God through pictures and the ceremonies of the temple. But the salvation had not yet been earned. That was coming. And so, to testify to Israel about that, they had to work, 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 work. Now we'll have a day of rest. There's much work that has to be done before the rest comes. Not our work, but the work of one whom God will send. But then Christ came. And by his perfect sacrifice on the cross, he obtained our salvation. That's the key. Now there's more work being done, but that's the key. That's the decisive work. And so now, in keeping with that, under the direction of the apostles, the Sabbath day is changed from the seventh to the first. In Christ's sacrifice, we start our week with this day of rest, celebrating, enjoying his salvation, and out of that, live the rest of the week in the work of Christ. And that Sabbath day, we must remember to keep holy. Well, that's the first point. Now, how is this to be done? Well, we remember the Sabbath day, first of all, by doing no manner of work on the Sabbath day. That's what the commandment itself says. Thou shalt do no manner of work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy ox, thy ass, not even the stranger that is within thy gates. 6 days the Lord, 6 days shalt thou labor, but the seventh day, put it away. Now notice, first of all, that this commandment tells us to work. I gave you 6 days to work. The Lord would have us work. And he's given us work to do as his people. Traditionally, normally, husbands are the breadwinners. Traditionally, women are mothers in the home. Young people are preparing themselves for their future work in the kingdom of God. There's work to do. And we must be faithful in doing that. God has given each one of us good work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Don't neglect that. But when it comes to the Holy Sabbath day, we must put that work aside. Now, it's evident from Jesus' own ministry that there is work which has been identified as works of necessity and works of charity which are valid on the Sabbath day and necessary. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, he was criticized by the Pharisees and the scribes because they had forbidden that. That was an activity, a work that did not belong on the Sabbath day. But Jesus did it. He did the work of healing a man on the Sabbath day, and then he responded and put them to shame and says, well, you have all these rules of what you may and may not do, but what about your ox when it falls in the ditch? You got a rule about that, don't you? And the rule of that is you may get him out and you may rescue your ox. And Jesus said that with approval. And so the church has acknowledged that there are works of necessity and works of charity. We're in farm country here. It's been a long time since I was out here in Edgerton. Left in 82. Boy, that's almost 40 years. Farming has changed. I don't know how many of you are directly related to farming, but you have animals to take care of. That's a necessary work. There's the sick to be taken care of in hospitals, at home. That's a work that has to be done. God has ordained government to keep order. To have a police force is a necessary work. To work in a nursing home to take care of elderly is a necessary work, a work of charity. Those are certainly permitted. On the other hand, we must be careful not to fill the Sabbath day with these works. A man told me, and he told me more than once, you know, if your ox falls into the ditch every Sabbath day, maybe you better get rid of your ox rather than working every Sabbath day to get him out of the ditch. Eight daughters the Lord gave to us, and three of them worked in a nursing home or worked in a rehab place. And we cautioned them, be careful that you don't allow yourself to be scheduled for too many Sundays. you have to keep the Sabbath day. Just because you have the right to do this, don't misuse it. And then later on, one of my daughters who worked at a rehab had to take her place on Sunday, and she says, you know, Dad, Mom, I was supposed to take people to see the hockey game. And this sporting event, because that was my work on Sunday, she said, that wasn't a very good idea, was it? No, it wasn't. Not all work done in these facilities are works of necessity. But you know, it's harder and harder to avoid the Sabbath day, work being encroaching on our Sabbath days. Industry, and I don't know what it's like out here, I just know Grand Rapids, Chicagoland area, but on the farm, there's industry here. Our young people are being pushed more and more to work on the Sabbath day. Our men are too. A lot of jobs are closed to them, good jobs, because they won't take their time or their shift on the Sabbath day. Let's resist that, even if it costs us. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And now this, when the Lord says, keep the Sabbath day by doing no work, then he also forbids using this day for all kinds of recreation and entertainment. Sunday has become the big sport day in the world. If you like baseball, football, basketball, I do. Most of it's coming on Sunday. And we find creeping into the church the practice of going to church once, if that, and then use the rest of the day for sports and recreation and entertainment. In turn, Sunday has become for many in the church a good day to come back from a vacation. I got to be to work on Monday. Now, if I keep the Sabbath day holy, well, then I got to come back on Saturday. But I want that extra day. And just one day, that's not going to hurt much. So Sunday has become a good day to come back from vacation when it's not necessary. This is exactly what the Lord condemns in Isaiah 58. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, if you turn your foot away from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, not finding thine own pleasure. That's what he wants us. It's not a day for your own worldly pleasure. It's a day for the Lord's pleasure. All right, so now we're in the second point. The second part of that second point, positively, we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy by pursuing the rest that God has provided us in Jesus Christ. That's the main thrust of the fourth commandment. We must bear in mind that the prohibition against work on the Sabbath day is not an end in itself. It's not true that if we just put away our daily activities, our daily work, and then do nothing, we're keeping the Sabbath day. That is not an end in itself. We are to put away our daily work exactly so that we can be busy in the pursuit of enjoying the salvation that God has for us in Jesus Christ. The weekly Sabbath is a day to celebrate the rest, the eternal rest that God is providing for us in Jesus Christ. It's a day for thanking Him and praising Him and enjoying His salvation as much as possible. That's what the day is for. Now, we're to do that all the time, but in our busyness, legitimate busyness, in the workplace, at home, in school, there's not time for that. Not as much time as we would like. And so the Lord says, okay, one day, you put away those other things so that you can focus on my salvation and the rest from sin that I have for you in Christ. It's a day to thank God, to praise Him, to enjoy His salvation. And we do that primarily, not exclusively, but primarily by coming to His house to worship Him as we're doing now. And the Heidelberg Catechism tells us what that worship ought to consist of. I, especially on the Sabbath day, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the Church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper, publicly to call upon the Lord in prayer, and to contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Public worship. Now, many people say, well, okay, one's enough, isn't it? One is good enough. One is good enough. Why two? Some of these old Dutch churches have three. And the third one, and the afternoon one's in Dutch. Oh, man. One's enough. One's enough. But what are you going to do the rest of the day? Well, that's our family day. But what do you do on your family day? Well, then it gets fuzzy. Then there's sports on TV. There's games that you play with the family. And it becomes a day of pleasure. And that's contrary to the intent of the fourth commandment. We maintain two services. That is a good way to use the Lord's day. To begin. And now here you start, you have the end, not in the middle of the afternoon, that's fine. But to come to worship. What better way can we have a family day? Come with our children. Come with our family to worship the Lord. That's honoring remembering the Sabbath day. And there are other things that belong to the Sabbath day. Bible reading, religious material, doing your catechism, Sunday school, visit the sick, visit the elderly, visit your family in the Lord. Those are all good things to do on God's Sabbath that keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, a lot of questions come when I teach this, and I had them myself, and I didn't have answers when I was younger. Well, what may we do on Sunday? May we ride a bike? May we play a game? May we take a nap? Can we walk but not run? What may we do? And in my house, we had rules. You may do this, but not that. And I grew up thinking, well, that must be the way it is for everybody. This is right, that's wrong. And that's what the Pharisees did. They had long lists of things you may do and things you mayn't do. And they completely missed the point of the Sabbath day, as I did when I was younger. So what must you do? What may you do? whatever contributes towards using the day in the fullest. You have children? Well, children need to get out and blow off some energy. That's the best. They need that for the rest of the day. So our children did that. I need a nap. And I'm going to take one this afternoon, or it's not going to go so good tonight. So I'm going to do it. Whatever helps you promote and make the best use of the Sabbath day is a legitimate activity on the Sabbath day. But let's be careful. Every church has its boundaries. I came to Edgerton, a farm community, and I found that the boundaries in Edgerton were a little different than what I was used to. Don't offend. Don't use your judgment or your liberty to offend people and to tempt them. Be careful. But whatever helps you use the day to the fullest is a legitimate activity. One more thing before we get to the final point. It's important that we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Day. Professor Engelsman, in a pamphlet on the Lord's Day, said, let's give the Lord the full day. And one thing that means is this, that you prepare for the Sabbath day. The Jews in Jesus' day called Friday the day of preparation. They prepared themselves for the Sabbath day on Saturday, so that when the Sabbath came, they were ready to worship. And we ought to give consideration to that. What are we doing Saturday night? What time are we coming home? How late up are we staying? Are we in a position Sunday morning to come and to worship? I know a family in the church I had in Grand Rapids. The kids had to be in by 9 o'clock on Saturday. Oh, they chafed at that. But that was the rule. So that you are prepared and can get up and be alert on the Sabbath day. So finally, the third point, what is the importance? Keeping the Sabbath day is important, first of all, because by doing it, we honor our God. It is a great work that God has called us to celebrate on His Lord's Day, greater than the work of creation. There is His work of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what we are to celebrate on His holy day. As we go to church, as we meditate, as we pray, as we visit the sick, as we visit one another. And don't forget what it cost the Lord to provide us with this salvation. It cost Him none less than His own Son in our flesh. He had to send Him to the gates of hell to endure the punishment of our sin, so that we wouldn't have to. That's what He wants us to celebrate on this day. When we celebrate that good work and thank Him for it and seek to enjoy it in this day, we honor the Lord our God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to the church of Ephesians. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. What a grief it must be that we, if we do not value His work enough to take one day out of the week to focus on His great work of salvation. Again, let me say, we are to do this every day. It's not just a one day a week thing. But the Lord says, because of the busyness of your schedule and the work I've given you, I'm going to give you one day to focus especially on my salvation, to celebrate it, to thank me for it, to glorify me and to enjoy it. How it grieves the Lord when his people don't even honor him enough, and his work, and his day, enough to keep it holy. Don't forget that. You want to honor the Lord? Then honor his day. You want to please the Lord? Then delight in his day. And he delights in us doing that. Finally, keeping the Sabbath day is important for our own spiritual well-being. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He blessed it. That means that the Lord declared that the Sabbath day would be a great blessing to his people. And he causes it to be a blessing to those who remember to keep it holy. How is the Sabbath day a blessing for his people? When we keep the Sabbath day holy and make it a day of spiritual pursuits and worship, we enjoy a special foretaste of the eternal rest and salvation that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Our hearts are filled with the joy of salvation. Our faith is strengthened. We become spiritually stronger and stronger, so that in the strength of the Lord's day, we can better and more faithfully serve him in the rest of the week. The Sabbath day is essential for our spiritual health, for our welfare, for our survival. Those who neglect the Sabbath day do so to their own spiritual hurt. They are anemic spiritually. They're weak spiritually. And when that continues, that has devastating effects for their future generations. It does. Those who, by the grace of God, in gratitude, keep the Sabbath day will be strengthened week after week to serve the Lord, to live with him, to enjoy him now and eternally. To put it this way, how a church or a family or an individual uses the Sabbath day is a barometer of where that person, that family, that church is spiritually. When the Lord's day is neglected, you're going to have a family, a person, or a church that's weak and weaker and weaker. When you find a family, an individual, a church that honors the Sabbath day and remembers to keep it holy, you're going to find a strong and vibrant church and family. It's a barometer of where you are spiritually. And it's an indication of where you're going spiritually. Neglect the Sabbath day, and the sad results are going to be a continual decline in your generations. But by the grace of God and the power of his word and spirit, we keep the Sabbath day holy. We can expect richer and richer blessings, not only now, but in our generations. Where are you at? Where are you at? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the weekly Sabbath. Lord, take this word and impress it upon our hearts. And give us more and more to delight in thee and thy day and thy salvation, and honor thee by how we keep this day. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.